Anyway, this is what I do when I study. I have two columns. I was thinking today, Les is real gracious because he doesn't ever complain, but there's times when I say, look up here on the board and without describing it. So this is what I do. I go and, Les, I have two columns. The left column is Greek, okay? And I'm just explaining how I study the Bible, okay, when I go through a passage or something. The right side is English, and what I do is I go and translate it. Now, I've taken all the colors out of here because I put the same colors here and here, and I'll pull up one that I have all the color in a minute. But one thing that you don't see, what did I call it again? The things that you may miss, what you might not see in Bible study. But sometimes because of the words used and the way they're translated, you don't always see repeated ideas. You don't realize that, oh, he's talking about the same thing all the way along. Okay? And you don't see that. So that's when I'll color code it. And this, I have words in blue that I'm kind of highlighting right now. But it's E-G-E-N-E-T-O, if you were to spell it, eginetto. Okay? And it's to be, to become. And that's the phrase or the word that you see over and over here. And when I scroll down, you see how many times this occurs. And then also I'll explain another discovery before long here. But we looked at this became here, this verse here, verse 3, and I'll scroll down a little bit. You'll see that it used. Can you guys still see? Joe, can you see? All right. Each one's different, but this is yellow with green, I think, lettering, bold, and it's Logos, L-O-G-O-S is what that is. Well, yeah, these all represent either the word Logos or the pronoun that refers to Logos. So over and over, this every time you see that, it's either talking about the word, using the word, Logos, or this is like him. So it's still talking about the Logos. It's referring to him. A little later, it says there was a man named John. He wasn't the light. He just sent, you know, that refers to somebody else. But these tie into the word, okay? So all things through him. Him, who is him? Him is the word that he was talking about, you know. So he doesn't say the word. He uses him. And without him, so that's what it is. And each one, I highlight things because I'll be translating and all of a sudden, wow, that's there again. So then I don't highlight every word, but repeated words I do. Like, this is in the beginning, in RK, like archaeology, we said, the study of the beginning. So that occurs again, and it actually elsewhere as well. So each one, this is pros, what I mentioned before, you're before God. The same was in the beginning before God, the God, literally. So, and this, the yellow, I have a yellow box that refers to God the Father, if you will. So, and it's related to the Son, both yellow, but I have a box around it. So every time you see that, it's God the Father. On the right side is it's a more literal translation. It takes into consideration word order, because word order makes a difference as well. Probably in English not so much, but if you say clean your room, the emphasis is on what you do to the room. If you say your room, clean it, the emphasis is on where. And Greek does the same thing. It puts something up front that you don't expect to be up front, and that is an emphasis, for example. Okay, now I'm just scrolling down now, but you'll notice on the right-hand side, I took out everything but the blue, because you'll see here, this is the same word. It says, all things through him became, or came into being, if you think of it that way. And without him became, not even one thing which has become. Now, these are just simple past tense, became. This, you don't get it in the English necessarily, but this is called a perfect tense, which means it happened, but the results continue. Everyone here has been born. If you said, yeah, she was born, we think of it in the perfect tense. We don't have really a perfect tense in English. But you were born, but the effects of your birth continue because you're here. Does that make sense? You know, so simple past tense was you were born and it ended. You know, she gave birth, maybe as a way to, you know, that was a past tense event. You're still not giving birth, though sometimes birthing pains continue for many, many years raising children. But this is a perfect tense. It's everything became and continues to exist, okay? So you see three of them here. It's using the same phrase, and that's, I'm doing it more color coding. Now I'm going to scroll down. That's verse 3. I don't have the verses in here. And then notice here, this one is actually a generic, and a man became, John the Baptist was born. So it's kind of the idea of, it's not the word for born, but it's the idea too. He came into existence. You see another color show up that we'll talk about later, but it's the word that we get the name Martin or martyr from, and that's this here, marturion, and it's translated testimony. He came, a witness came to witness or testify. So I try to be consistent in order that he might testify. And then down here it says he might testify again. So, and then these are all the word, let me ask you if this sounds like something you know, photos. Yeah, and actually photo, it comes from the Greek word for light. And graphy is writing. So you're writing with light. That's what photography is, light writing. You're writing with light, not with words. You're taking a picture. Okay, so I know that sounds goofy, but that's where it comes from. So, you know, writing is with the word light in front of it, means light writing or photography. Okay, so anyway, just showing you that how things repeat. And one of my main emphases is when you start studying the context of something, you see repeated ideas, and that gives you an emphasis of what the chapter is about. Okay, so I'm not trying to teach you Greek. I'm not trying to teach you any particular passage in John 18, but notice here, as you go down again, notice what shows up. The blue again, okay? Here's verse 10 that we referred to. In the world he was being, it's a different word, and I'll explain that later. Notice the world, it's cosmos. We're familiar with that. We get, it's the word cosmos is the idea of organization. So cosmetics is what? Organizing the outside, okay? If you have cosmetic surgery, what are you doing? You're trying to bring different order to your face or your whatever, you know, okay? But it's organized. One of the qualifications of a pastor is that he is of good behavior, and it uses a cosmeion. It's the idea of being organized, not beautiful. Isn't that great? Amen. Hallelujah for that. So a pastor doesn't have to be beautiful. He has to be organized. Okay. But the world through him became, and that's the word. It doesn't use the word create. In Colossians 1, it uses the term created. I couldn't find this usage, the way it was used here, anywhere in the New Testament other than John 1. Okay. So, how does it say it? My brain just shut off here. Sorry about that. But in verse 3, it says, all things through him became, and without him became not even one thing which has become. Okay? And then we have the world through him became, and the world did not know him. And as we scroll down here, notice this. you wouldn't catch this at all. I wouldn't catch it anyway. And so he started doing it. But as many as received him, to them, he gave to them authority, children of God, to become. It's a creative term. Okay? So there's a physical creation that everybody is part of. You have become because Jesus has created you. But because if you believe on him, you have the authority, children of God, to become, to be created. Okay, so it ties that, it's a creative term still in that. Let me see if there's any others. I don't recall. Sorry, I didn't do things. Okay, and here, I don't remember what verse because I took the verse up. But the word flesh became. So again, the idea that he took on flesh, it's something that wasn't and now is true. Became. You weren't and now you are. He wasn't flesh and now he is. You know, all things were made, became through him. So it's a stronger term than just, I'm just scrolling down here to see if there's any others. It's a stronger term than just what we would, I suppose, normally use. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ became. It's a repeated term and it ties in his creation, his salvation, and his truth. Okay, truth, Jesus is the truth giver. And he's the truth giver, why? Because he makes truth. He's the one that determines truth. We don't determine truth by an election, do we? A vote? We don't determine truth by our desires. God is the truth giver. Okay? But as I go through this, let's see, how many times does this show up? Let's count them, okay? Just the blue, what we're counting here. We're looking at the non-technical, not the technical, but something that shows up. There's one. And then it scrolls all the way up. Two, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Three, gave them the right or authority to become the children of God. Through him, became, world through him became. And by the way, all of, I guess this one's not the same tense. This is an infinitive, to become, so that's why it's written that way. How many is that? Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. So it's used 10 times in 18 verses. Okay, so it's a repetitive thought. So you're looking at repetitive thoughts. Now, if you look on the other side, let me pull up the one that has all the... Let me enlarge it a little bit. Yes. This is just word. I put all the Greek on the left side and I translate it on the right side. I indent it and highlight it as I see a fit. But that's just word using the. I'm using the. Ooh. Well, I hung myself here. I just used the highlighting. Where is it? Right here. The highlighting feature. And then I might bold it. I italicize it to make it stick out or something like that. But I different colors. So notice that then you get. This is ain here, E-N or E-E-N, I suppose you do that. But that, see how many times that occurs once you start looking at it? And that occurs throughout the, too. We don't even have this in our language. It's called an we had perfect, this is imperfect. That would be me, imperfect. But this is like a present tense occurring in the past. He was being. And you see that all the way through here. I've never seen imperfect as much. It's just all the way through there. So I still have to figure out. There's a lot of, it's ongoing in the past. Okay, but you see the logos here that's yellow. And you see all the repeated ideas. Let me just scroll down here. And that, because you can see it in the English here now. See him that the pronouns refer to the word every time you see that. It's talking about Jesus Christ, either directly. The word life shows up. Guess what we're going to speak on next week? Jesus is the... Remember he said, I am the way, the truth, the... Yeah. It first is brought up in John chapter 1 here, okay? And then also, light. We talked about light. Remember how many times that showed up? That's reoccurring. And light is contrasted with darkness. I don't know if we use scotia in English. Maybe in a medical world. I don't know. But, and then there's God again. God keeps going. Here's the testimony. He might testify. And then believe. You'll see that over and over. I haven't yet counted how many times the word believe occurs in the book of John, but it's a boatload. Here's the concept of light again, testifying. So you see the repeated ideas over and over. And when you see that, then you see, you know, then it's like, oh, there's an emphasis throughout the chapter or whatever. So that's how I go through and I kind of break things down. These, again, are the pronouns that refer to Jesus. As many as received him, it doesn't use the name Jesus, but he refers to Jesus. Almost done here. The ones believing. There's two. Only begotten. That's a term you don't see much. But then I'm going to show you. He was being. That's the ain again, the blue one. Only begotten. Okay. Now, I told you I didn't see that anywhere in the New Testament, that became. Okay? All things were made. It's actually, the word is not made, it's became. They came into existence, if you think of it that way. To become into existence. I didn't find it anywhere in the New Testament used that way. And I literally went through like 300 or 400 occurrences. Old and New Testament. But I did find him in a particular place in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament was translated into Greek by Alexander the Great or his cohorts or whatever when the Greeks ruled the world. And the Greek translation of the Old Testament is called what? Septuagint. Yeah, the Septuagint. You probably heard the term Septuagint. Well, it's interesting, but it occurs countless times in the Old Testament as well, but it's used a great deal in Genesis chapter 1. Okay? So here's Genesis chapter 1, a few verses, okay? Then God said, "Let there be light," and light became. You know, it's a creative term. And it's like I said, I went through the... Because the New Testament will use, just like in Colossians, it said it'll use the ketesis. It's the creator or keteo, I think is the other. But it uses the term for create. Here, he said, "Let there be light," and light became. And it gives you that idea. And again, you can become better at writing and use that same term in English. But the creative context in which this is used, I only found it in Genesis 1. And all I went through everything in the Old Testament. I was looking, is there any kind of tie-in, you know, looking through a list, okay? And here it is. And so the evening became and the morning became. It's interesting. You know, they became. There never was a second day. There never was an evening and a morning. And the first, they became, okay? God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters," and can't read it here, can we? Let me see if I can shrink this down real quick. Huh? Hang on a sec. Scroll up or down? First, up above is John, chapter 1. Okay. Hang on just a sec. Again, my goal isn't to make you so bored. I just want you to understand what you can find out that you won't always see in the text of English, okay? Barry, you said... Okay. This is United Bible Society Greek. This is the Kevin Suber translation.
Oh, okay. Okay, there's a word that...
Exegete. That's actually a Greek word. It says exegesato. You can... Two words... I don't know what jeet means, the jeet, explain, proclaim, but there's ex and ace. If you eisegete, you're putting something in the Word of God. You don't want to do that. That's not how you want to study. You're adding your ideas into the Word of God. Exegete, we use in seminary and college, you're taking it from the text. Ex is an outer from. You're exegeting, and Jesus explained God the Father. That's the only time I think that's used in the New Testament, is exegete.
Just for clarification, King James says, he has
declared. Yeah. That's the word that it's translating. But it's not the word declared. Because there's other words for declared. So I think exegete's better, but it doesn't explain it. It just transliterates it, kind of. So, let's scroll down here now that you can see this. I kind of put this a little... Here's some of the Genesis ones. God said, let there be light, and light became. Okay? Let there be. Let there become a firmament in the midst. I mean, it's a very creative term in that way. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered, and it was so. It became. Okay? So all the way through, you see the correlation, and why they used that... in the New Testament, in John, maybe because it had been translated that way, it was very much a creating term in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1. Let it be, and it became. Okay, let something become. Anyone here, do you have the ability to do that? Say something, and it becomes that. That's the Creator. He spoke things into existence. Let there become something, and it became. Okay? All things became through Him. Came into being through Him. And there's nothing that came into being that without Him that came into being. Okay? So that's using this term. But it goes on down all the way through. I like chapter 2 a little bit too. Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. That's not my favorite part. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, what? Became. Before he breathed into the man, he was what? A creation from dust. But he breathed into him, and man became a living soul. And so it's a creative idea, okay? So all I'm saying is sometimes it's harder to see things in the English. I'm not disparaging English. I read through my Bible in English. Okay? I'm reading through my Bible in a year, you know, and I'm actually 3/4 done because I told you I started over several times last year. I do it on my cell phone, and I change cell phones multiple times. But I got 3 months left. I finish in April or the end of March, okay? But I read in English, and I get so much out of it. But I'm saying even as you study, there's more to be had that sometimes you just can't see, okay? Why? Because when you translate, you just can't translate everything. It's just not possible to do that. Let me give you one other illustration. This is one of my Bible things here. I'm just going to pull up a passage. If you want, you can turn to, I want to say Matthew 16 here. Let me see if I can find it. And I've taught you this before. Matthew 16. I'm going to have to scroll here. Because it depends. It just helps. There's stuff there that you can't, that isn't necessarily obvious. And that's why I believe God gave us some pastors and teachers. But also, you can look up things like this just from a Strong's Concordance. If you know English and you kind of know numbers a little bit, I mean, you don't have to even add, but you can look up and find out what word that is, okay, and compare it. I'm looking, sorry. I don't have my full screen because I'm hooked up to the here, so I normally can go straight to it. Well, here, let's do it this way. See, I can go to the text. Here, I'm already there now. So, okay, this passage here. Okay. This is a display of wasted time here while you watch this for a minute, but hang with me here. Let's put this in a table. You don't have to remember any of this. I'm just doing it so it's easier to read and easier to follow. This is what I do. I put, if I'm doing a translation that's already in existence, I put it here. Normally it's the New King James. I still tell people I'm New King James only. That's supposed to be a joke. And then I need 24. I'm going to change this to a Greek text. 24 to 26. And I know you're not getting anything out of this other than seeing how well I can do using a mouse on a laptop. All right, I'm going to get rid of three verses here because it's not my point. So on the right, we have Greek, and I'm going to shrink it down a little bit here in a second. Let's do this first. Jesus said to his disciples, can everyone read that? Then Jesus said to his disciples, okay? So I'm going to put this on another line. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. All right? So I broke that down a little bit. Now, this is the key phrases, key verses here. Okay? Verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life, what? You got that? But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What's the repeated words here in that? Just that verse. Life. Okay? I'll just do life here. So bear this with you. I highlight it. I go up to here. And this is just like a highlighter, okay? And then I can repeat that action here. So we have life and life, right? So far, so good. Not hard. So I'm going to, for whoever desires, and I'm going to put, to save his life, lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So it's contrasted there. Now notice here, for what profit is a man to a man if he gains the whole world and what? Well, it doesn't say that. Soul. What's the difference between soul and life? Were you here last week? Then I won't beat you up. We used the word trunk last week. What did I say about a word? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and wipe this out. I'm going to put a space here because I only want to look at two verses here, okay? Now let me do this. You don't have to know a stitch of Greek, but you have to be able to compare, okay? Sorry, I'm just making it so you can compare. Okay, so the word for life here is this word here. It looks like a trident. It's psukein, and I'm highlighting that one. So that word is translating this word. It's actually the life of him, literally. And this is sose, to say. Okay? Notice here again, it shows up here. Do you see the same word? Okay, you don't have to know Greek. It looks the same. It's an identical word, right? So I'm going to highlight that one. So I've got it in yellow as well. It says, whoever wishes the life of him to save, lose it, he shall lose it. Whoever loses the life of him for the sake of me shall find it. Okay? I'll put this down here. We'll find it. Okay. Now, let's go to the next verse. Okay? For what profit is it to a man if he gains, and you can see K-O, and this is an S-M-O-N, cosmon, cosmos, the world, right? If the world he gains, what do you see in the next verse? It loses his own what? Notice there. You see the same word, right? Well, by the way, psuche, we get psychology from it. Psuchos, psyche. Psyche is the Greek word. And it can mean, by the way, I was kind of beat up in you, and then I didn't. But the point is, the word means nothing till it's in a context. Okay? What does soul mean? We'll use it in a sentence. Then I'll tell you what soul means. So I like soul food. And you're like, oh, that's different than what I was thinking. I was thinking shoe, right? That's even spelled differently there. But soul food isn't. Okay? And notice here it is one more time. What's interesting is this is the exact same word, but in English it's translated soul and soul. Now the problem is people translate this and says, what? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own? What should this say? Life. It's talking about how you use your life, not how you get into heaven. Are you saved by what you do? Your actions, your works. No. You're rewarded for what you do. It's how you invest your life. For what is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? Okay? I've seen this as a salvation verse. And it's like the only way this applies to salvation is if you can work your way to heaven. And if that's the case, we're in bad shape because the Bible says we can't. Our works are all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Notice what Jesus said to his whom? The context. Who's he talking to? His disciples, right? People that are saved. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's talking about the Christian walk, not about how to become a Christian. It's how to live like a Christian, how to follow Christ. Okay? I don't have the last verse of the passage there. But it confuses people sometimes. By the way, who translated the King James? And New King James is built off of that. The king did not translate. Anyone? Yeah. And who was he? Who did he hire to translate the King James Version? People from the Church of England, which was a break off from the, which believes in salvation by works. So that influenced the way they translated that. That doesn't make this inaccurate. Can you translate this word with suitcase with this word soul? Yes, you can. But the context, there's no reason to change from life to soul in the context. He's still four, even ties it in. He's explaining it. Okay? He's also talking to his disciples. Then it goes on and says something about his reward is with him. Jesus has come back and his reward is with him. He's talking about what what you do to make the most of your life.
If you took 26 and just read that,
yes,
that would work. But if you put those two together, it doesn't work.
Right. I was right.
It makes it very difficult for somebody like me. I've heard this all my life, those two verses.
Yeah.
And I've never heard it this way.
Right.
And I would think of that as the salvation.
Right. And I've seen it, in fact, not disparaging my father-in-law, but I remember he used to have that sign posted up in his driveway for the very reason to encourage people, you know, to stop and think about it. But it's not a salvation formula because of the context of the entire Bible, not of works, right? Lest any man should boast. You're saved by faith, not by works. And that, but the immediate context, like here, yeah, if you read just this, you could come up with lots of different possibilities, but are they correct possibilities? Okay? No. Okay? Because what makes this make sense? As Jim said, the context. You have to fit it into the bigger context. And when you're studying the Bible, the three most important things about studying the Bible are context, context, and context. Okay, they're easy. Memorize one, you know all three. Okay? But the immediate context, the sentence or passage that it's in, the book contents, and then the context of the entire Bible. They're not going to contradict. Okay? So let's pull up. I think I have it here. I just want to show you the last couple verses too, because that... And by the way, this is accessible to you if you have a Strong's Concordance. A Strong's Concordance does this. Like if you hover over, not hover, it's a book, a printed book, but you can get it online even. If you have a computer that accesses the internet, you can get all this information just the same way. But notice here, if you hover over this, notice that. There's the Strong's number. There's the meaning. It even tells you how to pronounce it, okay? Here's this. I'll hover over this one. Same thing, right? Hover over soul, it's the same thing. You don't have to know a stitch of Greek. You just find out it ends up being the same number. They're all 5590. Makes a difference in how you look. When I first saw this, I'm like, wow. Now notice here at the bottom. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward. Works are tied to rewards in the Bible. Right? There's different levels of reward for believers. There's different levels of punishment. It'll be worse for you in the day of judgment than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. Because had they had this, they would have responded. But you didn't, Jesus said to Bethsaida and Chorazin, okay? There's levels of reward for believers, levels of punishment for unbelievers. But reward is tied in with works, yes, but not salvation. As far as earning salvation, should salvation be accompanied by works? Yes. Should you do good works because you're saved? Yes. Do you do good works so you can be saved? No, our works can't save. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. Okay, so then He will reward each according to his works. The context in the Bible is rewards. The context of who He's talking to is His disciples. The context of life is don't waste your life. Don't live for yourself. Lose your life for His sake. How do you find that out? That's kind of stuff that it's just good to study. And again, you don't have to know. You can buy a Strong's Concordance for $10 and instantly use it. It's got a Greek and Hebrew dictionary in the back. You look up this passage. You look up the word you're looking for, like life. You look it up and it tells you, go to this number in the back, 5590. You go to the back in the Greek, and it tells you what number it is. And even if you find out they're all, it just lists all the numbers there. You can find out with even going to the back that it's the same word, whatever the word is even. I mean, it's that easy. It's a five-minute thing. So, but the challenge is just, you know, studying, rightly dividing the word of truth. And also, too, I show you that because of what is possible to be missed. But I also showed you the blue with the eginetto, the became, of there's some things that just can't be seen in English. Just because it, you know, it's translated. And that doesn't make a translation bad. It's just not the same. That's why throughout the ages, they've always trained pastors in the original languages. You used to have to know the original languages to get into some of the colleges. Harvard and Yale were preachers' colleges at one time. You used to have to know fluent Latin, which you would learn in grammar school, before you would get into college, and then they would teach you Hebrew and Greek, and you'd have to be able to cite translate it before you got out. Why? Because that's what the Word of God was written in. So, Marv, you had a comment.
Well, this is why some of these preachers are different now. Religions, they take out something, one part of it, and they don't refer to anything else. They take it out and dwell on it.
Yeah.
And
I'll run to their defense and say they probably mean well. You know, I think their intent is, but you can mean well, but not do well. And that's why I believe the Bible teaches not to have many teachers. I believe that the Bible teaches, you know, that it's limited, and that's why. If you're teaching this with good intent, but you're teaching this passage wrongly in Matthew 16. How does it help? It doesn't help at all. And how does it hurt? It might point people in the wrong direction. Did you mean well when you did it? I would assume that you did. If you're teaching the Bible, you're meaning to do something right. You know, you're spending that time. But if you don't get it right, it's like having a map in your hand but not knowing how to read the map, and then you're sending somebody in the wrong direction. Interpret, yeah. Yes. No, they don't talk about a lot of stuff in there, Marv. No, it's true. There's a bunch of things. Yeah, and you can't pick and choose. And does everybody want to know for sure what the Bible says? I would say that probably not everybody, because, you know, people, there's some people that approach the Bible and say, don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. You know. In this context, I would say that it would be hard to argue that it's not talking. Whatever this is what this is in the context. They just translate it differently, but understand the King James, though it's an outstanding translation, by the way, it's 400 years old this year. It's an outstanding translation. It's, to me, one of the top translations. So it's very accurate and all, but there's certain things they translate that reflect their theology rather than the accuracy. Okay. Right. Right. Yeah, it's been, yeah, a long 400 years of the King James alone, and there's been little done to really improve it.
Back in them days, they didn't have all this stuff we got now.
Right. No, I can do what I've done here. I've showed you in a short time what it would take a long time to write it out and explain it to you. Yeah. And that. It's effective, isn't it? You can see that you don't have to know what the word is, but that's, you know, it shows you right there the context. So,
it shows the older people, the translation, they're sitting there and writing this by hand.
Can you imagine doing that by candlelight?
Yeah.
And ink and
just,
yeah. It's still, I don't know, it took me quite a while to do 18 verses, but. It's fascinating. It's just, it's fun to me. Some people would hate it, and that's why we're all wired differently. You know, it doesn't make it good or bad. But anyway, I just want to show you things that you can see or miss. The repeated ideas that it's hard to see in English, And even that the Old Testament references, it's very much a created idea. And you see it in Genesis 1 and 2, that it uses the same phrasing, you know, let there be light and light became kind of idea. And then also what sometimes you can miss, even though it's translated accurately, you can translate psuche as soul or life. There's still a determination that's required by the translator to make it fit the context. So that's why I like to be consistent on my terms. Okay? Someone will say a witness testified. Well, in the Greek, the noun is martyrios, and the verb is martureo or whatever. I translate both the same. He's the testifier that testifies or the witness that witnesses, so you can see the correlation. So just stuff like that. And faith and believe. What's interesting, faith and belief. In Scripture, absolutely nothing. It translates the same word. Okay? So that confuses people. So I like to be consistent. So some people would argue against that, but I think that's a good point. So anyway, let's stand and close the word of prayer. I hope this is enlightening. It's not, it's just highlighting little details, not intended to show you great things, and hopefully I didn't bore you, but just showed you some little tidbits that are available in as you study. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would just use your word to build our belief in you, our rest in you and your promises. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk with you and worship you as our Creator and our Savior, and Lord, not to focus on ourselves. I pray, Lord, that we see the Word of God in its vastness, understanding that there's so much there. And Lord, help us to be faithful to read your Word every day, but also understand that there's so much to know and so much to learn. But Lord, just help us to walk with you by belief, by faith, so that we might just be those that worship and serve you as your creatures. I pray that you bless every person here today because of their study of the word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.